This is AgriPulse Daybreak West for Tuesday, November 25th, brought to you by Rabo AgriFinance. Good morning. I'm Jeff Daly. Here's today's headlines. Sites hits delays. Iowa hit the gas. CARB. Greer says Europe needs to cut tariffs and NRCS announces new office. Sites reservoir timeline slips. The proposed Sites reservoir project is facing growing schedule delays with key federal approvals and major contract timelines now slipping well into 2026, according to the California Water Commission. Commission staff are reporting that the federal record of a decision under the National Environmental Policy Act has been pushed back about 3 months and is now expected by the end of this year after previously targeting an earlier 2025 window. Delays are also rippling through project agreements, draft public benefit contracts with the state's Department of Fish and Wildlife and Department of Water Resources are now projected for April, while benefits and obligation agreements with project participants, a prerequisite for final state funding, have slipped about 6 months to September. The project authority had to resubmit Clean Water Act permit applications to the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers and the State Water Board after earlier filings were deemed incomplete, effectively restarting key regulatory review clocks. Why it matters? Well, the commission recently authorized additional early funding for sites, but final funding cannot occur until water rights permits and major contracts are secured. The shifting timeline raises risks of higher costs and construction setbacks, creating anxiety among the commissioners after two major projects collapsed recently. The commissioners called on the site's proponents to report back in January on the viability of the project and to answer criticism from a labor union over contracting for construction work. Iowa Ag Secretary urges CARB to expedite E15 rollout. Iowa Secretary of Agriculture Mike Naig is urging the California Air Resources Board to move quickly to allow the sale of E15 gasoline, arguing the higher ethanol blend would lower fuel costs and expand access to domestically produced energy for California drivers. Naig submitted formal comments as CARB evaluates how to implement E15 in the state. In his letter, Naig pointed to Iowa's long-running experience with E15, noting the state has more than a decade of use without widespread infrastructure problems. Iowa has 42 ethanol biorefineries and 10 biodiesel plants producing 4.6 billion gallons of ethanol and 353 million gallons of biodiesel annually. Naig said E15 typically sells for about 15 cents a gallon less than regular unleaded gasoline and saved Iowa drivers an estimated $38.5 million in 2024. He also highlighted Iowa's upcoming E15 access standard, which will require most retailers to offer E15 beginning January 1, 2026, as evidence the fuel can be safely and quickly integrated into fuel markets. We'll have more AgriPulse Daybreak West after this. When you work with Rabo AgriFinance, you get the global knowledge and financial strength of one of the world's largest and most innovative food and ag lenders. Tools essential to realizing your aspirations. Discover how an unmatched network of local and sector experts can help you confront agriculture's challenges and seize the opportunities that lie ahead. Learn more and contact us at www.raboag.com. Creating value, connecting vision. Rabo AgriFinance. Good morning. Welcome back to AgriPulse Daybreak West. Europe won't get more tariff relief until it cuts tariffs on U.S. ag. No tariff relief for the European Union until it makes tariff cuts on U.S. ag products that it agreed to in July. That according to a top U.S. trade official. According to Trade Representative Jameson Greer, who was with Commerce Secretary Howard Lutnick in Brussels, meeting with European trade ministers and EU officials. Greer told reporters, quote, "It's really hard to move on to other things or to broader cross-section of the economy before we fully implement the first part of the agreement." New Assistant Chief's Office announced at NRCS. USDA's Natural Resources Conservation Service is launching an Office of the Assistant Chiefs to replace its current Office of the Regional Conservationist. That according to Chief Aubrey Betancourt yesterday. A USDA press release said, quote, assistant chiefs will oversee regional operations and work directly with state conservationists to ensure consistent, science-based, and producer-driven program delivery. In the release, Betancourt said the move puts leadership in the field side by side with the producers we serve, and that NRCS is streamlining operations, improving accountability, and ensuring that every NRCS employee has the tools, support, and leadership they need to deliver conservation results that matter. Foreign Agriculture Service reports rescheduled following shutdown. The Agriculture Department's Foreign Agriculture Service rescheduled reports for livestock and poultry, sugar, grains, oilseeds, and cotton following the end of the government shutdown. The agency will release its world markets and trade estimate for livestock, poultry, grains, oilseeds, and cotton December 9th. That'll come at 12:15 Eastern Time. The reports were supposed to have been released in October and early November, according to a press release. FAS World Markets and Trade Report for Sugar will now be released on Tuesday, December 16th at 3 p.m. Eastern. World Bank Report calls for countries to embed AI in ag policies. Global food systems are at an inflection point as farmers face a changing climate, higher input costs, and ever-shifting supply chains. A new report from the World Bank and Microsoft says artificial intelligence can lift productivity, bolster climate resilience, and support smallholder farmers in developing economies. The bank is recommending countries develop agriculture-specific AI strategies and invest in data infrastructure and AI skills to scale up adoption and ensure poorer economies are not left behind. We believe that data needs to get converted into products and services at a much more efficient speed, Parmesh Shah, one of the authors, tells AgriPulse. Shah leads the bank's digital agriculture data and innovation work. Shah said ag AI investments are behind other industries because of lower returns and high data collection costs. This is a case for governments to implement policies to lessen those disadvantages and spur private sector investments, he added. Now take note, the World Bank recently launched its AgriConnect initiative to lift smallholder farmer incomes, including by reforming policy in developing economies. Shah said he anticipates the effort's recommendation will help to shape that initiative. OSHA proposes fines for vegetable company in connection with worker death. A fresh-cut vegetable processing company has been hit with proposed penalties of more than $1 million for safety violations following an investigation into a worker's death. The Labor Department's Occupational Safety and Health Administration proposed the fines and cited the company, Taylor Farms, New Jersey, with 16 safety violations. Inspectors say the operation, quote, failed to implement proper lockout, tagout procedures to protect workers from severe injuries during sanitation activities. Taylor Farms has 15 business days from the receipt of the citations to comply, ask for an informal conference with OSHA, or contest the findings before the Independent Occupational Safety and Health Review Commission. Here's today's final word. Of the four COPs I've attended, this was the strongest focus yet on the essential role of farmers and sustainable food systems. That's CDFA Secretary Karen Ross reporting on her trip to the COP30 Climate Conference last week. Well, that's Daybreak West for this Tuesday, November 25th, brought to you by Rabo AgriFinance. For the latest news out of Washington, D.C., visit AgriPulse.com. For AgriPulse Daybreak West, I'm Chuck Daly.